If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the Most High God. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is how we open doorways and access dimensions in the realms of spirit. So let's take a deep breath and reach and call yourself forward and bring your spiritual essence down into your mind, body, and into every cell. Run that vibrant energy down through your nervous system and baptize yourself in the fiery love of God. Let's take another breath. With that intention, baptize yourself in the fiery love of the Shekinah glory of God. Deep breath. Allow it to push out to the periphery and dissolve anything in your being that is not of the highest divine love and grace. Anything that was not crafted into you in your original divine essence goes now. In the name of Jesus, just escort it and usher it out and see it dissolve into pure divine light and love at the periphery of your energy field. That's the simplest way you could ever clear yourself, don't you agree? We can do so much with our breath and our intention and our spoken word. Those are the three tools that you have to really craft anything that your heart would be in alignment with in the realms of spirit. Your true self is spirit. It's a spirit created in the image and likeness of the one divine spirit. And that spirit self never leaves home. It's always in the divine God realms. So what is here is an extension of individualized consciousness into these lower realms, which as it descends and gets incorporated in the various dimensional overlays, it begins to lose awareness of home and the divine origin and nature. As you become identified with your human personality and life in the lower worlds. And the soul, by definition, we could call the individualized human mind with its free will, free choice, free electives, your emotions and feelings, and your personal human will. And though originally innocent, that divine consciousness that we call the soul that extended out of spirit lacked experience and fell, as it were, becoming entrapped into the lower dimensions of time and space and duality. And thus was born a sense of self that's separate, that's been called the ego, which takes its position in the human lower mind and parades itself as a separate victim of its environment, governed and driven by fear. So the whole dynamic of fear and the false self and the sense of alienation and separation is all complete misinterpretation of self. So you don't need to battle your ego. You don't need to do anything with your ego. But realize it's a fearful thought and let it go. Let it be dissolved in the Shekinah glory of that holy fire of God, that divine love, It makes your hair stand on end. It makes you tremble with vibrant life. That is what you call yourself forward into. And you lay aside anything that's not that. You don't have to be concerned about it. You're not here to fix yourself. The job of the Holy Spirit within you, which is your divine teacher and your only true teacher, is to consecrate and sanctify you until you are exactly the same in your nature as Jesus the Christ. You are to become and be the Anointed One, which is the meaning of the word Christ. So we call you forward as the Anointed Ones to be, the Anointed Ones who are hungering and thirsting for entrance into a deeper dimension of life and the wisdom and discernment to know what to align and access and where to sidestep and avoid. So many people open up areas through lack of awareness that they later wish they hadn't. So pay attention. There are no idle thoughts, no idle wishes. Everything connects you with areas, beings, entities, and things of a similar nature. Everything that you engage produces an effect in your consciousness and in your life. Things that you do habitually form grooves in your brain, form and fire circuitry and connections in how you process and see life. How important it is to cultivate conscious awareness and to exercise great discernment and selectivity in directing yourself through your daily life so that your life becomes goal-fitting and befitting the goal that you've set before yourself. Now, to begin to really access the highest spiritual planes and dimensions, you need to know the correct approach to take and which door to enter and which areas are going to land you in big trouble. So you need to know what they are. You need to discern the nature of the spiritual realms that you enter into. So if your desire is to experience and know and contact God, then you're definitely going to succeed. Because God himself has promised in the scriptures that when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And the key here is all our heart. It says in the scriptures that the eyes of the Lord go through and through, throughout the land, seeking those whose hearts are right towards him. So it's that correct approach of the heart when it is just very sincere in its desire to go and partake of the highest possible divine destiny that you can possibly engage that is honored. And I found in my own personal experience, since I've been pretty much everywhere and done everything and explored and looked under every rock and nook and cranny, pretty much, at least the ones that were spiritually positive, that God honors every sincere attempt that we make to find and experience and know him. That means he counts to our credit even our mistakes and the foolish attempts to find him, you know, when we wander off in the wrong areas and get involved in things that we later find out, oh man, that was so not what I thought it was going to be. Or we get deceived, we get fooled and beguiled and tempted. That's part of this earth dimension. It's also part of the education of the soul through experience. So that trial and error factor is always going to be part of our learning. That's why you can't set absolutes in this so much as you lean into the most positive, loving, positive, light-filled direction you possibly can find. And then as you move through it, you discern it to see if it is, in fact, that. Because the darkest and the darkest of the dark is also masterful at imitating and play acting light. So you have a spiritual realm that in the lower dimensions is very bipolar. It's very schizoid. It's very insane. And it's a really mixed bag. You just can't go to sleep at the switch of consciousness and expect to have very good results. Because if you just go with the flow of the world, you're going to end up being nothing, doing nothing, and wasting a lot of time and energy. And good luck. So God only pays real attention to our hearts. The heart's cry, the heart's longing, not the moving and flapping of our lips, so much as what is really moving our heart to search for Him. I think there comes a point in the life of everyone, certainly every baby, when all the toys in the world will not distract or placate, and only being picked up and embraced in the arms of love will stop that wailing. And as spiritual infants, we're exactly the same. There comes a point when only the loving embrace of the beloved is going to quiet our desperate, aching loneliness and seeking. But know this, when the world is seen as no longer holding the keys to your happiness and fulfillment, that's a great day because you've begun to search beyond this world's playpen and all of its toys. So here are some major keys to keep in mind as you begin to enter this journey. And you might want to take these down. Interest opens access. In other words, when you find yourself interested in an area and you turn your attention to that area, it begins to open up to you. You have access to it. That's why a person who's very resistant to new information very effectively shuts the door of spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never violate your free will. So that's why you need to have a sincere openness to new information. And again, interest opens access. Now, second, focused interest grants access. It's one thing to touch into something. It's another thing to be able to actually be granted access. And number three, prolonged focus of interest gives permission to enter. This is where you really need to discern your interest, attention, and fascination. Your curiosity will open you up to a particular area. But stop there and ask yourself, do I really want to enter this realm? Will my entering into this particular energetic lead me Godward? And I'm assuming that all of you listening, that's what you want. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me. So, I would like to go very specifically into the dimensions that we have inherent in our own consciousness to give you some sense of what they are, because the spiritual realm interpenetrates and all the dimensions interpenetrate your physical mind and consciousness right now. Wherever you're sitting, you have access to the very, very, very highest of the divine God realms and the very, very, very lowest of the bowels of the hell realms. You have the full access to any of those things. The only thing that determines what you access and actually tap into is what we've just said. Your sustained interest, intention, fascination, focus, and all of the above. So everyone has a natural attraction to explore the unseen and the mysterious things of life. Even though at the same time there's inherent in that interest some degree of fear, simply because it is unknown. And in fact, some people just pursue the unknown simply because they enjoy the scare factor and the adrenaline rush that it provides. And this accounts for the interest that so many seem to have in murder mysteries and horror flicks and the ghost, hauntings and stuff we have on television. But usually you'll notice that the masses of unawakened humanity always tend to approach a topic from the lowest, most basic level. So, where there's no higher intention or nature operating, you just have the raw, basic human lower self, it just has, by nature, an instinctual urge to self-gratification and phenomena. It's very satisfied with spooky stories and stuff, and it can leave it at that. It really doesn't want to have the answers because, again, it enjoys the sensationalism, the phenomena, and the scare factor. It's kind of its adrenaline spike. So the sensual stimulus of entering the unknown and experiencing being scared out of their wits is it's actually the only thing they're interested in, if these folks have any wits at all, if you know what I mean. So, on the other hand, people who are awakening spiritually will notice a certain homesickness and longing that begins to accompany their waking, because they're becoming aware there's just more to life. There's just a lot more to life than the physical dimension. So suddenly we realize for certain that this world is not our home, and we begin to long for our true home, not realizing that what we really are longing for is not a temporary home on another planet in a particular dimensional heaven or bardo of consciousness. We're not really longing to go back on a spaceship or, any of those things. What we really are longing for is our home, with a big capital H, in our real home. And that is what each one of these seminars is particularly crafted and designed to gradually reveal to you exactly how to hone in on home and to move your spiritual inner awareness into that place so that you can be home now, in heaven now, without having to wait until you leave your body. That's not the time to return home. Now is the time to return home. So the movement and the conscious intention of opening yourself through the tisratil, the tenth door, to the top of your skull, and entering consciously into the kingdom of the soul, the golden kingdom, the golden chalice of the soul, and beyond that, into direct experiencing of the God realms. So, first of all, realize that your physical dimension, your physical body, has its point of focus here in the third dimension, where the things that you experience through the five senses appear to be the most real and solid to you. They really aren't. The appearance of solidity is entirely illusory, because everything is simply a mental interpretation of energy. Everything is the energy of spirit, lowered to certain wavelengths. So, yeah, the table feels solid to you, but there are people in this world like Chris Angel and what was his name, the Israeli guy, Uri Geller, that could put their hands through these things and show you how solid they are. They have and many Kung Fu masters and martial arts masters have mastery of that physical, etherical dimension of their bodies, that they can move things with their energy, with their mind. So this surface level is not really solid. But when you're focused here almost to the exclusion of everything else, you're in body consciousness and you're really imprisoned and really experiencing a demi-life, less than a demi-life. You're living a subhuman life. You're living the life of an animal, just operating through instinct, but not through any kind of conscious awareness. Now, the next level that you're going to contact within your own levels is your imagination. And that is focused upon another level called the astral plane. You have an astral body that's called astral because the word means starry. And when you see yourself as a starry being or in being out amongst the stars, you're actually functioning in your astral body. And it is full of fascinating phenomena, all kinds of dreams and visions and magical appearing and disappearing and colorful morphing takes place in this realm. As well as your nightmare alley and your boogeymen and your ghosts and so forth. In fact, a really good film depiction of the astral realm was Robin Williams in What Dreams May Come. It was an excellent depiction of the astral. And Alice in Wonderland's experience, which was a drug-induced state because she ate of the magic mushroom, and then she had this astral experience. I can remember as a child being utterly disgusted when my mother tried to read me that story. I said, I don't want to hear that stupid thing. And I watched the movie recently to see if my attention could be grasped a little bit, and I thought it was equally stupid. So I came in as a young child, born clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, very, very sensitive to the spiritual realms. The veil never dropped, but I came in with two very strong cautionaries in my spirit that I have basically followed and allowed to protect me my whole life. Number one, I was warned never to get involved in the psychic realms. Never, never, never. And even though I was told many times, you're a fully trained medium. You could give messages, you could do reports, you could do this, you could do that. And I always said, no, I'm not supposed to get into that. And I remember my first astral command, that was a Freudian slip, my first astral command mentor as part of my education, and she was a devout Christian. She was a practicing devout Christian, but for some bizarre reason, she wanted me to experience astral mediums. So we went to Los Angeles, and she tried six different mediums that she knew of where she could educate and expose me to mediums. Do you know that not one of those people answered the phone? And that had to be, an arrangement of spirit, because the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, not the spirits. Because I was totally protected from that. So, and the other area I was warned never, never, never to get into was any form of drugs. Well, when you're born high, like I was, you don't need drugs. I remember when I read the Carlos Castaneda books, I thought, wow, I've had all of those experiences through working in meditational states. So, yeah, if you want the high that's the most high, you don't get it through drugs. But you can sure enter the astral realm through drugs, and that's exactly where it lands you. So the astral realm is also where many of your UFO encounters occur. Your real kind of vivid engagements with abduction scenarios, the little gray guys that put you in suspended animation and levitate you aboard their ships and examine your bodies and whatever. Those are all astral entities, some of them quite demonic. Do not open that door. So I don't teach nor advise astral out-of-body projection. There's a real difference between moving your inner awareness through soul, through your spiritual consciousness, and projecting out of your body in your astral. Don't do that. So, you know, it can be very dangerous. So if you've already had or are having abduction experiences, it's your responsibility to close the door and to sever all momentums and connections with unholy and dark alliances. These are unholy, dark alliances, usually at the lowest astral realms, because they invade and violate your consciousness. As far as I know, only the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver you from astral demonic beings who prey on those who enter, territory that's forbidden in the scriptures. These areas are forbidden for a very good reason. They are pits of darkness, pits of peril. So the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can break off of you those unholy alliances, but you need to either have someone minister with you deliverance from these things, or if you're strong spiritually, you can, do it yourself. But whatever you do, break yourself free from unholy alliance. Now, the next level and body, perhaps I should add here, things that open the door to the astral realm are any kind of psychic, occult practices, divination, channeling, mediumism, where you allow some medium, some other entity to take control of your body and manifest ectoplasm, which then forms as so-called ghosts. They're really prankster, entities, but, there's nothing to be had there. There's nothing for you in those levels. But drugs, even things like alcohol and smoking can open the door to astral entities. In fact, the Master Moria said one time that if you could see the astral entities that gather around a forkful of bloody meat, you would never, ever eat it again. And, of course, in the scriptures, it guards, warns you about eating the blood of meat, because life is in the blood. So these are all things that the more you want to come to God, the closer you want to come to the higher dimensional levels, the more you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to rein you in. I always ask the Holy Spirit to put a strong curb bit in my mouth and hold me on a tight rein. I don't want to have any leeway that would enable me to get lost off into the territories of darkness. But the thing of it is, and here's the key, you might want to write down also, I think they're really important, the state of your consciousness and your heart and soul, that would be your mind, your free will, your feelings, all of those things determine what enters your life and what dimension you are able to access and enter. You know, the true spiritual realms are very highly guarded. You just can't get past the astral realm unless you really, really, really have earned the right of access. And few people in this world have a pure heart, and that's the key to the whole spiritual approach. And fewer still seek to cultivate godliness in thought, word, and deed. So guess what most people attract? Yep, the dredges of the universe. And I'm speaking very strongly about these things because obsession, possession, and insanity are, they're becoming on the rise increasingly worldwide. And it's because people are opening access to areas of darkness. So, again, the astral realm is where many of you are trying to connect with those of us in the Ashtar Command, and we're not there. You may encounter the duplicate, imitation, false astral Ashtar command. And many of the channelings that you read now, I can't even dare to look at them because they're coming from the imposter Ashtar command. That's why I would prefer that you not even try to contact any kind of extraterrestrial being. Try to become fully self-realized and fully consecrated to the Christ within your own holy sanctuary of your innermost self before you try to reach into any contact with anything other than the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. And I'm very sincere in advising that, because I have emails from people so often that are just begging for help because they have become possessed by astral entities. They've been abused aboard ship. They've been abducted. They've had all of these awful things happen. Why? Because they haven't opened the right door. The very first door that you need to open if you want the real spiritual life is to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. That is the one door that will assure that you have pure divine contact. And that door must be opened through love and sincerity. You can't just say a prayer and expect, you know, presto change-o, everything's going to be all right. No, it's a life of ongoing commitment each day to follow the teachings of Jesus and to walk in the ways that you know are the ways of light and life and divinity and grace. So the next level that you will contact beyond the astral realm is a slight raising of vibration into what's called the causal body. And this is also called the emotional body. So as the astral plane is the plane of your imagination, the causal body is the plane of emotions of all kinds. It's the body where, you know, if you've ever had a dream where you awaken and your pillow's wet with tears, you've just been sobbing, you know, and it's a deep emotional releasing, which is, it can be positive and it can be from a negative encounter, but in my experience, very often the causal is quite full of bliss. You know, it's where many yogis go, it has, you know, some real dimensions where you, you know, I've had some incredible dream vision experiences with the saints and the masters and Sai Baba in the causal realm, which is where you will tend to find those beings. That when you're a devotee of a Indian teacher, usually your experiences are going to be in that causal realm. So this dimension can give rise to very spiritual encounters, seemingly of a divine and blissful nature, but it can also give you everything else in between. So what is, you know, emotionally charged is often what we have actually experienced in what we call the causal plane. And remember, all of these experiences you can have wide awake with your eyes open. You don't have to be asleep to access these levels. You can, as you move through your day, you can just watch where you're placing your consciousness and what you're energetically engaging. Or you can run your life as a living meditation like I do mine, and you can tell by what people speak about and where their focus is, what level of consciousness they're speaking from. Of course, that's a high level of discernment. Takes some practice. But if you pray for discernment and you keep looking and practicing and exercising your conscious awareness, you'll be able to place where people are operating from. You'll be able to read things in your emails and in books, and you can tell exactly the level that that person is writing from or speaking from or teaching from. So there's all these levels. And if you're going to be a master, you must learn to master yourself and master your inner awareness and master your focus and master directing yourself into the areas that are goal productive and goal fitting. the goal that you have set before yourself. So the next plane and dimension, and they're not stacked like pancakes. They're all homogenized together. Bear that in mind. There's no sign saying you are now entering the causal realm or you are now exiting the astral. No, no, no. You can, if you're trained by a spiritual traveler, you can be trained to discern the different levels as you move through them according to the color and the sound current that you hear at that level. But that takes a lot of training. And a really good master, like my teacher, John Roger, who taught me these things, which I'm just sharing, you know, a result of many, many decades of being under his tutorship. But the thing is, I want to point out, is that you discern things by their energy. Everything has their energy. You can discern a church and a teaching by its energy, too. You can tell churches that are coming out of the mental plane, churches that are coming out of the astral, churches that are coming out of the causal. And there's even a body of teaching on the planet that takes you right into the etheric, which we'll deal with a little bit further on in the program. So the next body and dimension that you access or can discern is your mental body. And this is where you're busy thinking, tail-chasing, mentalizing, figuring things out, questions flying all over the place. And when you're asleep and having mentalizing dreams, you may wake up, you know, where you've been so busy mentalizing that you're just totally exhausted when you wake up from sleep. And a lot of things are worked out on the inner planes when you have made a commitment and an alliance with a real spiritual teacher and lineage. They work through a lot of karma on those levels so that you don't have to actually go through many things on your physical level. You'll go through it on a dream or in another dimension and work it out there. So some of your busy dreams are very productive if you're on a conscious spiritual path. Now the next level, and this is one I want to dwell in for some time because it's really, really important. The next level is your unconscious, or it's also called your etheric body. And that's the dimension where you may feel like you're dizzy or in a turning vortex. You may feel disoriented, feel like you're totally disconnected and discombobulated. And also when you have those experiences where you feel like you're falling from a great height and boom, you wake up with a start and you're like trembling because you just fell. That's the etheric. You can also fall deep down into yourself. I've had that experience too in insight training, where I fell deep down into my etheric level, and I began to do that primal scream. And when I was in that level, it was totally pitch black, and I was just screaming, and I was wishing that that person who was screaming would shut up, and it was me. So, anyway, it can be a really interesting level. The etheric level is also where you feel so sleepy and drugged and drowsy that you're unable to respond, but you just feel dull, numb, inert, unresponsive. And it's like it says, it's unconscious. This is the zone of the quote, void, the nothingness, the abyss that many people actually meditate up to and into, imagining that they've attained enlightenment. So it's a great plane of deception. For here one encounters what's been called the cosmic mirror. And when you encounter the cosmic mirror on the etheric plane, you see your own reflection and you think you are God and have achieved God consciousness because you see your own reflection. Now, I want you to, if you haven't seen this movie, it's worth renting. The movie is Siddhartha, featuring Keanu Reeves. And this, in this movie, the actor portrayed very accurately the seeing of himself in that causal, excuse me, that cosmic mirror. And if you remember, if you saw the movie, it's where the Buddha is sitting under the Bodhi tree, meditating, supposedly attaining enlightenment. Only he was actually having an experience of seeing his own reflection in the cosmic mirror. And in the dream, he's just been, or in the vision, in the movie, he's just been tempted by all the dakshinis and all the sensual goddesses are dancing around him, which are really demonic spirits, trying to incite him to lust and to distract him from pursuing in his path. And he ignores them. So then the Lord of the lower realms, old Kal Niranjan, the devil or Satan, is very, very good at fabricating false experience to get you away from the soul realm, because the etheric realm is what guards the higher true dimensions of God from the lower dimensions of illusion. So he really has a big investment in keeping you away from self-realization. So the call in this, the devil, in this particular scenario, appears out of the ground in front of Buddha and shows, you know, his hideous face and takes on the visage, the face of Buddha, but in its distorted demonic aspect, hoping, you know, to fake him out and scare him, get him, you know, thrown out of his meditation. But no, you know, Siddhartha's a good meditator, so he just holds very steady, and Kal realizes he can't fool him with that guise. So then he appears as the enlightened one. You know, he shows the beneficent side. And you know, Buddha bought into that, and he assumed at that point that he was the enlightened one, and he got up and went forth to teach from that point. So be aware that the spiritual deceptive forces of the biophysical realms, the psychic and material realms, can portray itself as angel of light, as any form of any master. It can duplicate and imitate, can't create, but it can duplicate, mask, imitate, impersonate anything or anyone whatsoever. The most, it can appear as the most benign, beautiful, loving, holy being. But if you look at the eyes, if you look at the teeth and face, you'll notice that there's something not quite right. There's something usually that's distorted in that face. The energy's distorted, feels wonky. The visual is distorted. Beware, it's showing you what it is. And again, always challenge it. Who do you serve? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? You know, is Jesus Lord? I mean, none of these demonic entities can stand the name of Jesus. So use it. So the Buddha did not achieve enlightenment, according to Sai Baba, because he never attained God, because that was not what he wanted to attain. He attained the void, the astral void, the astral realm. Excuse me, not the astral, the causal, excuse me, the etheric. He went into the etheric void because his intention was to find the cause of suffering and find how he could end suffering. And the experience in the etheric realm is the realm of unconsciousness. And you become unconscious of your physical body when you're in that realm. And that's where you go when they put you under general anesthesia, or when your arms and legs go to sleep. That's when the etheric body in that area is, you know, and also that's the cause of phantom pain when you've had an amputation. That's your etheric body. Or in Kirlian photography, if they cut a leaf, you'll see the outline of the leaf in the etheric. So the etheric is like the blueprint for every other level of your being. It's like the matrix of energy that forms the blueprint for each level. And it's a zone of unconsciousness that exists between every level. Because every level, you have a sevenfold division within those levels. On the physical, you'll have physical, astral, causal, mental, the buddhi, or soul, the atmic, or spirit, and the logoic, which would be the divine word of God, the living word of God. So on each level, you know, when you move your awareness to that level, if you're out of a physical body, you will have lists to operate on. But when you move into the soul realm, you can access any other level in complete safety. So it's only from the soul body, the soul realm, that you can have total freedom and access to any level, any dimension, any plane, and you can be a true co-worker with God. So what does this great void serve to guard and protect? It protects the first true plane of divine reality, the buddhic plane. It's also called Satchkhand, or the truth plane, the realm of truth, the realm of Satnam, the true and first manifestation of the divine, is located on the soul plane. And the travelers simply call it the soul plane, or the citadel of soul, or the golden kingdom. Jesus called it the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, which is within. The kingdom of heaven is within. So the golden citadel of soul is the first plane of genuine self-realization, the very first step that will carry one through 27 levels of the soul realm before you ever even enter the God-realized state of the divine throne realms and the one true God that's beyond all names and all forms and all manifestations, the absolute it of itself, the true divine creator. So only the Lord Jesus Christ and the lineage of genuine spiritual travelers who work under his sovereign leadership and guidance and authority can actually take you as a soul, as a consciousness, in your soul body into the buddhic or soul plane and teach you the keys of soul transcendence while you're living in this world so you don't get trapped in those lower levels. You need a teacher that has that authority. But most important of all, a true traveler, and of course Jesus Christ is the greatest of all travelers, only they have the ability to actually establish your consciousness in those lower realms. It's one thing to travel to them. That's easier to do than I could even talk about. You can move your awareness in, out, and through it before you even know you've visited it. But to move in and establish yourself there so that you never have to ever return to these lower realms of duality and deception and entrapment, that is the goal of conscious soul travel and conscious self-realization, or Christ being established in Christ, being hidden in Christ, in God, or in God, in Christ. Same thing. It's like babushka dolls. You just move into that dimension of God and you stay there. But what happens to nearly every yogi and solitary spiritual practitioner who's trying to go out there and do all of this on their own is that they meditate up to the etheric plane, and meditation will only take you to the etheric plane. To go beyond the etheric, you have to use soul travel, which is a whole different and very active spiritual practice. It's called spiritual exercise. You have to exercise and move your inner awareness very, very consciously into those higher dimensions, or you just stay passive in the meditative states. So most yogis will meditate up to that etheric plane with the cosmic mirror, see their own reflection, and they begin to disidentify and lose attraction and awareness of the lower realms. They sit in this false state of samadhi, and then they proclaim themselves as self-realized or God-realized or Jesus returned. There's so many false Christs right now operating on the planet. I know of at least 5 of them, and so many reincarnated Jesuses. You know, you look at these people and you think, good heavens, where in the world did you get that idea? You're not even a nice human being. But that, you know, that all aside, these are self-styled gurus. And they're figures that are like self-proclaimed messiahs and Christs and gurus and Sat Purushas and so forth. But they're not really any of that. They're simply human beings that have, you know, been deluded by the cosmic mirror. So the New Age and cult communities are full of these people. And they're making these exorbitant claims, and each one has, you know, their fawning devotees. So that old cosmic mirror at the top of the etheric void has launched the majority of those who lay public claim to being gurus and who try to solicit, this is the word here, try to solicit followers to their personality cults. And without exception, they almost always imply that they are the enlightened one. And here's something to look for in your red flags. Self-aggrandizement, self-promotion, self-importance, self-glorification. If you squeeze any one of these self-styled gurus just a little bit, put some pressure on them, and out will spurt the pus of pride. And I'm sorry for that gross example, but it is one that you will remember. So pride and arrogance are the flashing red lights, serving to warn you, here is a false Christ, a cult, a cultish leader, a phony guru, a megalomaniacal ego with a messianic complex. Beware. Jesus warned us that in these days there would be many, many false Christs. So, you know, those who have attained occult or psychic powers and opened themselves up to the lower realms of the call power, who is the god of the lower negative realms, everything beneath soul is under this devil, this god, this negative power. Everything under the soul realm, beneath the fifth plane of soul, is under the authority and jurisdiction of the call power. Everyone, except those who have consciously made a commitment to follow the Christ. So that pretty well delineates for you the royal highway and the bridge and the door that needs to be opened for you to have the highest access. And the call has to stand down and can't touch you if you belong to Christ. Because if you ever go after one of the ones that the Lord has marked as his own because they have committed their lives to him, then the Lord has the ability to go into that lower realm and set all the spirits that have been entrapped free. And if you read in the scriptures what happened to Jesus, when he was crucified, the first thing he did was he went down into Hades, the holding tank for souls that are not able to leave, that are under the entrapment of this lower god, and he released them. And that's why you see in the scriptures it mentions that graves opened and the dead were seen walking in the streets. That was the very first resurrection, collective resurrection. And it's because Jesus Christ was a spiritual traveler with the full keys of soul transcendence. And he went right down into that realm and set those bound spirits free. And that's what happens every time the call power tries to mess with anyone who has given their lives completely into the care and keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why that door, and he calls himself the door. I am the door that no man can shut. No one comes unto the Father save by me. He's really speaking as a traveler here, that he is the one who will accompany you beyond the realms of illusion and in the realms of illusion. I mean, he will walk with you every step of the way once you've made that commitment and that connection and opened that door from the inside to your heart. Say, okay, Lord, enter. I'm your kid. Just be my teacher, be my master, be my guide. I don't want to be trapped in any of these lower realms. So, you know, the hallmark of every great soul that I've ever encountered, and I've been blessed to encounter many, is humility. That's always the mark and characteristic of a true knower of God. And they have no desire to draw attention to themselves, but their only desire is to point your attention Godward. And a true teacher of divine light has no desire to be a teacher, but only to lead you to the teacher of teachers, which is the Lord Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And she or he never makes any kind of lofty claims, but merely points the way. So by these ways, you can really discern spirits. And one of the things that opens up for you, and this is, by the way, going to be a very intense series. This is the first in a series of seminars in which I want to teach you very, very clear guidelines on how to operate truly in the realms of the supernatural, to have the abilities that we all want and hunger for. But very few people show you the difference between the different ways that that energy manifests and how to have correct alignment and to walk in the higher divine energies rather than the psychic material energies, which are everywhere, you know, everything. And I think that you will find it's much more fulfilling because you'll have all of the bells and whistles that all of the psychic path offers, but you won't have the nightmare alley and everything else that goes with the potluck that you enter into when you just go willy-nilly into any area and any dimension, and you have no discernment, no true guidance, no true guidance in your life. So again, take a deep breath. And I ask at this time that anyone who has been oppressed by entities, any entities that have gained a foothold or an entrance into your life, I plead the blood of Jesus over each of you. In the name, authority, and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break off those dark tentacles, and I ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to fill you and to lead you to truth, to lead you to the Lord Jesus, to lead you to the path of the true Father in the highest God realms. I ask that you be guided, guarded, protected, and surrounded by the holiest, most divine angels, and that your steps be ordered in the ways of righteousness, peace, and divine love, that you truly may be ambassadors of God's kingdom. I ask that you be filled, surrounded, protected, guided, guarded, and directed by the highest divine Christ light and kept from the snares and the wiles of the deceptors and the deceptive voices that try to speak on all sides. And I ask this in deep love and deep consecration of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. And we're going to go out chanting the beautiful name of Yeshua. Deep breath. Yeshua. 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 God bless you, Adonai.